This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our Sex Podcast Collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, we are live. It's Friday, January 10th, 2020, and the world is burning. It's pretty awful out there on a global scale, I would say. And I'm not just talking about Princess Meghan and Harry leaving the royal family. Good for them. Obviously, my best wishes to everyone in Australia. There's a really devastating, awful stuff going on there. And of course, we're going to jump right into an unnecessary war in the Middle East because that's what we do as Americans. So why don't we just take a little break for a moment and talk about porn? When was the last time we talked about porn? Okay, you're probably keeping track, and it was probably like 6 weeks ago, but still. I have a really amazing guest who is kind of ruling porn right now. And when her PR people sent me her bio, this is what it said. She's an award-winning adult filmmaker and chief creative officer of Adult Time, a streaming service for adults. Her work leverages art, sexuality, and cinematic narratives to Trojan horse powerful messages into the hearts and minds of her audience. A Boston native, she now lives in Los Angeles with her wife and daughter. Isn't that a quaint little bio? So what it doesn't say here is that she was named Director of the Year by XBiz 2 years in a row, 2018-2019. She just won 8 X Critic Awards. Some of her films that she made this year have up to 18 nominations per film, people. And remember, whatever we do, this is still an old boys club. So please welcome to my show, Bree Mills. Bree Mills!
Hi, what a lovely introduction. Thank you very much.
Oh my God, I don't know why I just sounded like Oprah there.
Okay, it was great. So,
the thing is, Bree and I don't actually like know each other that well. We're not friends. We don't hang out, although it seems like we would. But Bree and I have like a lot in common. The first thing being that I used to be the reigning dyke making straight porn in the mainstream adult industry. Bree has taken that mantle from me and actually eclipsed me, basically. So we're going to have to start with, like, what's a nice queer person like you getting so many followers and so many fans who are straight?
Well, it's a very good question.
It's a good question, right? People ask me all the time.
Well, I think, you know what I honestly think it is, because it is a question that I get asked quite often. I actually sort of got my start in adult production by developing a all-girl brand called Girlsway, which we sort of first launched back 5 years ago. And at the time, it sort of all seemed to make sense to the industry. Okay, so there's this sort of lesbian outsider who sort of showed up one day and started to produce content and, you know, write these sort of, you know, strange interconnected lesbian soap operas. Okay, it all makes sense because she is a lesbian, so that must be her place, that must be her fit. And then, you know, over the years, I've gone on to you know, do many different things. And I think, you know, at this point, I'm probably, like, more known for the work I've done in the sort of straight side of the market. But, you know, I think the fact that I do take a non-traditional gaze in my approach to filmmaking, and I've always been kind of an outlier and an outsider since the day I first or stepped foot in this industry, as just sort of what has made me different, but also, I guess, what has made me unique and what people have liked about my work. So when I'm filming something, it doesn't matter if it's a straight scene, a gay scene, you know, a lesbian scene, whatever category, whatever niche, I don't look at it from a traditional pornographer's lens or traditional pornographer's gaze. I always refer to myself as a pretty lousy pornographer. I'm really interested in sex and sexuality as subject matter, and that really sort of fascinates me and drives the stories that I like to tell and the, you know, situations I like to bring to life. But that's sort of, you know, when I'm looking at something, I'm looking at it much more from a kind of objective or filmmaker's gaze. And that has, I think, led to a lot of the differences in my content compared to a lot of what you see, which is often rooted in very conventional tropes or, you know, conventional points of view.
Okay, let's talk about convention, because one of the things that you're very well known for is you're sort of the queen of the faux incest, or what's called faux-cest.
Right.
Subgenre. It is one of the most popular in the past, I think, 5 or 6 years. I'm going to read a little quote here from a Jezebel article by one of my favorite journalists, Tracy Clark Flory. Mills is doing something that is frowned upon even within an industry that revels in taboos. Taboo, which is the name of the studio. Taking faux-cest seriously. She approaches it with a realism and degree of emotional gravity that she says goes against accepted wisdom about how to handle such a third rail topic. Her films still fetishize faux-cest, to be sure, but the cutesy, giggly exterior is largely absent. Many of her movies have the crisp visuals, dramatic soundtrack, and narrative pacing of a Netflix drama, like Ozark, with faux-cestuous sex. So, did you wake up one day and say, this is the area for me? This this is where I want to go. I want to go to faux incest.
Well, I don't know that I would say that I'm the queen of that genre. It's actually not content that I myself have personally produced in quite some time, but I am one of the studios that I created, Pure Taboo, which is the studio that that Tracy wrote that article on, has, among the many themes that it covers, does tell stories of, you know, kind of faux-cestual dynamics. Why I originally found that subject interesting was about, again, sort of in my earlier producing days, you know, when you're a producer in mainstream porn, you know, you're going to look at a lot of what's happening in terms of trends, what people are watching, what other companies are putting out. And, you know, one of the most popular storylines, or some of the most popular storylines in content over the last few years, have been storylines revolving around family role play dynamics. And this is really, you know, when you kind of go back to taboo subject matter, the, you know, the faux-cest tropes are as old as Socrates. You know, like, they've been around as long as, you know, people have been having, you know, sexual desires and sexual fantasies. And so it's not something that's that's new, and it's certainly not something that I would say is it's something that drives a lot of people as a fantasy subject matter. And what I find interesting is the sort of psychological drivers behind sexual desire. That, at like a macro level, is what I'm interested in as a writer and as a filmmaker. What I found to be actually quite distressing within the industry was the fact that when you were tackling this subject matter, be it a FOSA story or, you know, some other, you know, kind of taboo subjects, that it was always done with this sort of bubblegum, like really lighthearted slapstick comedy, tee hee hee, dad caught me masturbating, you know, tone to it, which was quite, different from when you go and look in, you know, erotic fiction or, you know, sites like Literotica and what people were sort of reading and discussing. It's very complicated subject matter. It's very oftentimes very serious and emotionally driven and dark. And so what I wanted to do by creating Pure Taboo as a studio was really to make a transgressive statement. Can we take some of these popular tropes, but rather than continuing to just add fuel on the fire, by presenting this very kind of lighthearted, funny, not sort of making light of situation type projects, could we take taboo seriously? Could we tell these like the complicated, you know, quite emotionally dense and very oftentimes controversial stories that they are? Can we use Pure Taboo as a studio to break convention and start conversations and make the viewer themselves challenge what it is that they're seeking and what it is that is, you know, kind of fueling their fantasies? Somebody once described Pure Taboo as porn with a side of guilt, or porn that makes you think. And to me, that was really what I wanted to do, is I wanted to look at these stories and these subjects and not make light of them, really sort of break them down and show them for what they are and make a statement around a lot of these subjects. And what I realized very early on in the process of launching this studio was that it was not just a place for me to explore some of these subjects, but it was something that many of the performers within the adult community also could use as a platform to make social statements or to tell stories that were personal to them, either from their own experiences in life that they wanted to creatively process, or just, again, subjects that were very important to them that they wanted to creatively express. So it's easy to, you know, I think the fine line that kind of keeps Pure Taboo from being just another shock cinema site or just another FOSAS site is the fact that it has become this platform for discourse and conversation and is telling stories that are often rooted in reality and are intended to make people think when they watch. And you can see in the amount of time that people watch this content and the amount of story we wrap around our sex scenes, often one of the most frequent comments I get is that, one, people can't believe that the acting is as strong as it is and that the performance is as strong as it is, and also that that they even were inclined to fast forward the sex just to keep watching the story. And I think that shows the power of, you know, of having conversations about some of these subjects that otherwise do not get talked about. So, and as I said, it's easy to typecast it as just being FOSAS. It's only one of many different kinds of subjects that we talk about on that site. But I guess that made me the queen. So here I am.
Here you are.
Here I am.
Well, it also, it begs the question, we have to go to break, but you can think about this on the break. Sure. It begs the question, do people want to engage porn in this other way besides sort of titillation / entertainment / just to get off? Do they want some thinking? Do they want to be made to think or provoked to think along with their sex? Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that, but let's first hear from our fantastic sponsors, including the Pleasure Chest, who, you know, everyone keeps the lights on here and has been with me for years. They support me through everything, and so you should give them some love back, pleasurechest.com. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, more with Bree Mills.
Happy New Year from the Pleasure Chest. January is full of amazing pleasure ed classes, including in Los Angeles, January 22nd, Big Sex, Body Positive Sex to Empower Your Sex Life with Elle Chase. January 25th, Asian Femmes Speak Out, a panel on sexuality and stereotypes. In New York, on the Upper East Side, January 15th is a squirt shop, and January 29th is a class on pegging. At the West Village location, January 16th is Asking For It. In Chicago, January 8th, it's Suck It, Lick It, Love It, all about oral sex, and January 15th, BDSM Basics. Plus, from January 14th to the 20th, there's an early bird Valentine's Day special. You can get 20% off most popular couples' toys. Some exclusions apply, online only. Beginning January 17th through February 11th, purchase any WeVibe and get a WeVibe toy bag gift in-store and online. As always, go to pleasurechest.com for these deals, to find out about events, and to get yourself something special while you're there. Well, everyone, it's a new year, and although I encourage us, myself included, to enter 2020 with hope and passion, the world is pretty scary out there. Whenever I glance at the news or social media, it gives me so much anxiety and stress. One tool I use to take time out of each day for myself, to meditate, and to help me fall asleep is Calm. This app is one of the simplest ways to take care of your mental and physical health and bring peace into your life. Calm has guided meditations, breathing exercises, sleep stories, and even soothing music from artists like the iconic non-binary singer, Sam Smith. For my listeners, Calm is offering a special limited time promotion of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/Tristan. That's 40% off, unlimited access to Calm's entire library, and new content is added every week. Get started today at calm.com/Tristan. That's calm.com/TRISTAN. That's calm.com/Tristan. Relax, de-stress, and find your peace with Calm.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I'm talking today with award-winning adult filmmaker Bree Mills. Before the break, we got you started on kind of some of Bree's vision and mission within the adult industry and how it differs from many of the people working. So the question I asked you before the break was, do people want to be provoked to think about things? Do they want anything more than entertainment? And I feel like a great example of this is one of the newer films on the Adult Time site is called Aphrodisiac, a Demi Sutra story, I think. Mm-hmm. And it revolves around this Black woman, Demi Sutra, and it sort of critiques racism, looksism, beauty standards. It's like a heavy hitter. There's not some subtext about racism. It is like confronting it head on, but it's also a really amazing film. I think it's like, you know, the film of that porn dissertations are made of. Immediately I thought of like 100 things that I could say about this film, and I would probably like write like 7,000 pages about it. Maybe I'll still do that in my spare time. but it's very button pushing. It's obviously very current right now. How did you come to do that? Because it seems very much driven by Demi, who created it.
Yes. So one of the things, as I was mentioning about our studio that we launched a few years ago, Pure Taboo. So that's Pure Taboo is one of the channels within Adult Time now, our sort of streaming service that's often referred to as the Netflix of porn. So one of the things very early on when I was starting to write and direct projects for Pure Taboo that I recognized was how committed and interested the performers, or many of the performers in the adult community, were with our approach to storytelling and sort of the bravery and the boldness of the subject matter that we were tackling. And I started to get requests from performers who had stories of their own that they wanted to tell. And some of these stories were really rooted in a direct personal experience that they wanted to explore or expose creatively. And others just had a subject that was important to them for, you know, a myriad of reasons that they wanted to put out there. And again, the mission of Pure Taboo was to break conventions and to start conversations. And so we began to invite these performers to write their own pieces and to work with our team bring them to life. And so Demi's project Aphrodisiac is one of those examples. We've done about, I think, close to 20 of these stories now. And certainly hers, I would say, of all of them is one of the ones that has had the strongest impact. And Demi herself, for those who are not familiar with Demi, it's actually her birthday today, so we can all wish her happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Demi.
But she is just a force. She's an amazingly talented and intelligent and strong woman. And she, you know, has, as a woman of color and as a performer of color in her industry, she's certainly faced her share of adversity. And so she wanted to come and to tackle that within this artistic piece, which she wrote and worked with our one of our main producing teams for Pure Taboo to bring to life. And it was something that was very obviously quite personal to her, very important. And the when it was released, I think, again, because it's a subject that just nobody touches in our industry, even mm-hmm. though it is so at the one of the core challenges and issues within our industry right now that we Absolutely. Need to tackle. You know, it was it really struck a chord not just with viewers, but with the, you know, other members of the adult community from, you know, all backgrounds and walks of life. People really recognized this is something that we need to talk about. And I, you know, when I see stuff like that, that's why I'm in this industry. To, you know, to begin with is to be able to use art and use a platform like Adult Time to tell these stories and to not just tell them. I believe very much that porn, like any form of entertainment that has influence, you know, that has a significant influence over culture, porn needs to be that balance between entertainment and awareness. And I don't feel that we're accountable for being the default sex education, in modern Western society, but we have become the default sex education, because of a lack of awareness and infrastructure within other aspects of our society that can help balance. So, you know, I do really feel a sort of a sense of responsibility as an influencer, as a large content creator, to be able to take people who have things to say and who are not afraid to speak about them, especially when they're related to sex and sexuality, and to give them that platform. Because otherwise, if we do not do it, it's not going to be done by anybody else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's something that the more I'm in this industry, the more strongly I feel about that. You know, I'm a mother. I have a young daughter. We have another daughter on the way this year. So I feel that responsibility to make sure that porn can be something that is both entertaining, but also can bring awareness to issues, can shed light, can educate. And, you know, this is a good example where we can use art to initiate conversations that need to happen. And mm-hmm. the fact that it's initiated, yes, we provided the space and the platform for it, but it really came from this strong individual who had something to say. I mean, that is why we're here and a big big part of my own personal mission is to be able to provide people like Demi that opportunity. And it caused, what's great about it is that it caused such a reaction and, you know, really opened the doors for this conversation to begin. Now Demi and myself and some other performers are working on a, you know, a series that's going to not necessarily be the same story as this, but continue that conversation. And that's what I'm, you know, things like this are what inspire me as a creator.
I mean, this shit is so long overdue. But the thing that struck me about Aphrodisiac as I watched it was, this is something that mainstream Hollywood can't fully tackle, because at the core of the story, it's about the intersection of race and desire and desirability.
Yes. Yeah, and you hit the nail on the head there. You know, I think we have an opportunity as an adult community, because we are not afraid to express ourselves sexually. We're not afraid to go there, either, you know, physically or in our conversations. So we can use that. We can use that for good to, you know, be able to initiate these kinds of conversations where our mainstream counterparts can't, because of censorship and, you know, all kinds of archaic, their own baggage. So, you know, I think that we have a tremendous opportunity to do something really positive when it comes to issues about sex and sexual identity and sex positivity.
Yeah, I mean, it just struck me that, like, some of these issues in this piece, like, have been wrestled around with in other media, but the sex portion and the desire portion that, you know, I mean, everything is underpinned by white supremacy and racism. So, of course, desire and our sexual relationships, our sexual identities, how we see ourselves sexually is all underpinned by whiteness and racism. And that's what struck me about this piece is, like, this is a different way to talk about this issue, where as it, like, unfolds, if it didn't have the sex in it, it wouldn't be the same.
Right. Yeah, I absolutely agree.
And that's what was brilliant, just brilliant about it. Did it get nominated for some things, I hope?
Unfortunately, it came out a little past the nomination period ended for this year, but it would be eligible for next year.
Okay, good, good. We are going to take another break. I'm super happy to hear that Calm.com, do you see what I did there? Calm.com has come back as an advertiser. And that means you gave them some love, because these people are all about spreadsheets, right? So when they advertised before, they obviously got results, which means some of you really need help calming down. Don't we all? So they're back on board, and I really appreciate them. I want to welcome them back. Let's take a break, and we'll talk more about this. Stay with us. Hi, everyone. You may have heard me talking about Erica Lust's new adult film studio, Lust Cinema, over the past few months. Well, this is your final call, people, because you only have 2 weeks left to enjoy the introductory offer of just $5 for 1 month. $5. Go to lustcinema.com/Tristan and pay $5 to access a whole catalog of adult films, as well as performer interviews and behind-the-scenes footage, so that you can get a closer look at your favorite stars. There are no extra fees or hidden costs, and you can cancel at any time. On the site, you'll find Lust Cinema original feature-length films and original series shot by Erica Lust, and plenty of other female directors, as well as a huge catalog of licensed content. Just like Erica's work, you're not going to find any reductive casting of performers. There's no boring porn stereotypes and no damaging fetishization. Just very hot sex, equal pleasure, believable storylines, and cinematic quality. So if you want to experience everything that Lust Cinema has to offer for just $5, go to lustcinema.com/Tristan now.
Hey everyone, as Instagram deletes porn star accounts, YouTube and Facebook censor content, dating apps are full of bots. We've talked about all this on the show, and it's becoming more and more difficult for people to connect, especially intimately, online. MyGirlFund.com allows members to form virtual relationships with sexy, amazing women. On MyGirlFund.com, you can meet, message, share photos and videos, and cam with women in private. If you know me, you know that two of my passions are people experiencing pleasure in diverse and shame-free ways, and folks getting paid fairly for their labor. It's very difficult for women to get paid for virtual adult work without risking personal exposure. Many women are willing to do dirty chat and or share nude content for money, but safe and discreet platforms are rare. My Girl Fund allows its female members to control their exposure. They connect with who they want to connect with, control how they want to interact, and decide what they want to charge for these interactions. My Girl Fund has been around since 2009, providing space for people to have intimate interactions that they want. Sign up now at MyGirlFund.com and get ready to meet and make connections with women in a safe, private, adult community.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at PuckerUp.com. That's Tristan at PuckerUp.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, I'm talking with one of the most highly decorated and respected filmmakers in the adult industry, Bree Mills. And we have a couple big films to talk about, Brie, one of which is Teenage Lesbian. Mm-hmm. Teenage Lesbian is the story of, in fact, a teenage lesbian who, of course, has already turned 18 because yes. Everyone in porn has to be 18. But yes. She's in her last year of high school with a whole bunch of other 18-year-olds. Yes. And it's a very personal story. You make no bones about it that there are personal pieces of your life in here. And it tackles a lot of stuff around coming out, around questioning, being rejected, homophobia, violence against the queer person in the film. So here's my take. First of all, Kristen Scott is the lead and she is fucking phenomenal. She's just unbelievably good. Mm-hmm. She's depressed for a good chunk of it, as you are before you come out. But she is just, the camera loves her and you like can't take your eyes off her and you're really fucking rooting for her. Mm-hmm. So I love that. And I also felt like she has a kind of masculine energy that can certainly be like, she has a sort of a yin yang thing going on. Right. So, but she had a masculine energy that made her as a lesbian really believable to me as a dyke viewer, you know, because if you cast someone else in that role, I might be like, but mm-hmm. is she, you know, that kind of classic problem. One of the things that I love about this film is that I've often found in feature films, sometimes the direction is amazing, the storyline makes sense, the characters, the script is even good, the acting is good, and like I'm totally there with them. And then when there's time to have sex, it appears like everyone just drops their character.
Right.
Okay, so this is like a big beef of mine, which is that like you can't then just be, you know, let's use someone from back in the day so I don't like offend anyone. Alexis Texas, right? So it's like I totally believe Alexis Texas in this role and I'm totally there with her and she's not Alexis Texas. And then all of a sudden she starts fucking and I'm like, wait, that's totally Alexis Texas fucking in like every other thing I've ever seen her do that isn't a feature, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so there's something about this film where like it's quite seamless. It's quite believable. The sex scenes are not sort of like interruptions or awkward things. They're actually kind of pushing the story along. And and people are actually fucking in character. I mean, do you think that?
Oh, well, I mean, that's yeah, you kind of summed up my entire approach to adult filmmaking right there.
Okay, you're welcome.
I very much in the case of this project and really in most of the story-based projects that I do, the sex is part of the story, but it's not a separate entity, and the characters don't drop once the sex starts. Sex is really has to be very integral to the plot and to the characters. In the case of Teenage Lesbian, you know, as I mentioned, the first big project I ever worked on in adult was the launch of Girls Way, which is, you know, has become kind of the largest lesbian brand in the market. But it's pretty rooted in kind of classic male gaze, you know, fantasy tropes, which there is a beautiful place for that. And certainly lots and lots of people like that. But myself as a creative over the years, I have become much more interested in telling stories that are rooted in authentic experience or rooted in, you know, in realism. And one of the things I wanted to do with Teenage Lesbian was to tell a coming out story that was really based on reality and was based on true experience. And, you know, the kind of the social experiment was, can you make a lesbian porn film that's true to lesbian culture and lesbian experience and lesbian sex, that is still going to be kind of, you know, as equally pleasurable and entertaining and erotic as, you know, Lesbian Babysitters Volume 20. Mm-hmm. And I've long wanted to, you know, I was a gay teenager in the 90s, which was the last decade before gay rights became any sort of household conversation. I remember sneaking into the back of the community center in my, you know, kind of the conservative town that I lived in to watch the Ellen coming out episode in secret. I remember what it was like during that time. And so when I was brainstorming on how to tell this kind of story, I thought that perhaps the best way to tell something authentic was to tell my own story. So, you know, you're right in the sense that Teenage Lesbian, it is a work of fiction. It does take place over the course of the lead character, Sam's final year in high school. She is, of course, 18, because we want to make sure to portray only, you know, people of the age of 18 and older in our projects. But every scene in that film is directly inspired by something that happened to me in my own life. So, you know, the opening scene of the film when she gets bullied and thrown in a dumpster happened to me on my second week of high school. And, you know, I'll tell you, it's a really interesting experience to recreate your memories and to kind of look back at your own past and your own sexual, you know, awakening and identity, and everything that I felt, I just put into that film. So, you know, I think a lot of people who've watched it, and we primarily shot it as an independent feature film, which would have a cut that would be it's an unrated cut, but the equivalent of an R rating, and an uncensored version of it in adult time. And I took the R rated cut and I released it. We sent it to film festivals, of which it has, you know, placed in two independent film festivals so far. Knock on wood, hopefully we're going to get the project picked up by a mainstream film distributor. And we also put it out on YouTube for free for people to watch. And it has been able to attract an audience of people who are not just looking for lesbian porn, but are looking for, you know, a lesbian film that tells a very important story in an important time period in gay culture. You know, that again is just a way to kind of do porn differently, which is what adult time is all about, and to, you know, kind of try to tackle the story. And Kristen is someone, she's a remarkable actress. She's been in the industry for about 4 years. She is not a stranger to the stage. She's won a Best Supporting Actress in years past for some other projects, including one of my past projects. And she has done a remarkable job in this role. And I knew when I was writing this that it had to be her. Like, I would not have made this film if she was not going to be the lead character, because you're right. she has this, she's, you know, can be incredibly sort of feminine and do very sort of, you know, heteronormative roles and all of this. But she herself is a very fluid person. You know, she's had her own, you know, experiences, and she just became this character. And it was walking around with a younger version of myself for 10 days.
So. Which is a little spooky, it must be.
Which is a little spooky, but I have such a place in my heart for Kristen. You know, she's such a good person and such a talent. And she took this so seriously. And she really became kind of like, you know, became my shadow my memory for this run. And, you know, it just, the film would not be the film without her. And that is the truth.
Yeah. I mean, it strikes me too, that this last sex scene when the main character, Sam, eventually gets a girlfriend, and this sex scene at the end, it was like, it didn't do that thing where all of a sudden it turned into two really fiery, great, like girl performers, like going at each other. Mm-hmm. It actually was believable as this couple who was very much in love. There was like this sweetness and tenderness. They didn't have like every trick in the book. Like I was like, okay, when are we going to like whip out the bond? Okay, no, we're not doing that. Right. They're in high school still. So it was like touching in a really sweet way. And then I watched the whole thing. So because you said there's a cut. So then I watched the whole thing without the sex, and it does hold up. It stands up as a film, a coming out and coming of age sexually film. I mean, I also thought like Wolf Hudson was awesome in it.
Yep.
Like
yep.
really awesome in it. I mean, you can't go wrong with Wolf Hudson, but man, he was super believable too. Yeah. They're telling me I have to take a break again. Well, that Andrew, he's just cracks the whip and then we have to go. Isn't that right, Andrew? Okay. Andrew's my new engineer who I like to torture slightly. I hope you guys are all picking up on that. Bye, A-Rod. I miss you. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about another really big film called Perspective, starring one of my favorite performers working today. So don't go anywhere.
Happy New Year from the Pleasure Chest. January is full of amazing pleasure ed classes, including in Los Angeles, January 22nd, Big Sex, Body Positive Sex to Empower Your Sex Life with Elle Chase. January 25th, Asian Femmes Speak Out, a panel on sexuality and stereotypes. In New York, on the Upper East Side, January 15th is a squirt shop, and January 29th is a class on pegging. At the West Village location, January 16th is Asking for It. In Chicago, January 8th, it's Suck It, Lick It, Love It, all about oral sex, and January 15th, BDSM Basics. Plus, from January 14th to the 20th, there's an early bird Valentine's Day special. You can get 20% off most popular couples toys. Some exclusions apply, online only. Beginning January 17th through February 11th, purchase any WeVibe and get a WeVibe toy bag gift in-store and online. As always, go to pleasurechest.com for these deals, to find out about events, and to get yourself something special while you're there.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Today we're talking with Bree Mills. She has run a lot of different studios. We've talked about Girls Way and Pure Taboo, the big mega brand streaming service. The umbrella under which all of it sits now is called Adult Time, adulttime.com. You should definitely check it out. There's, first of all, there's so much content. It will just you know, well, it'll keep you busy for 3 days, as it has me. I've been watching a lot of porn this week for work to be prepared. No, and I've had a really good time doing it. So the next movie we're going to talk about is Perspective. This is also a film you directed and also came out as with an X-rated version and a mainstream unrelated but vaguely R-rated version. It stars Angela White, who's one of my favorite performers. And her scene with Seth Gamble when they go to when they go away for the weekend, like, and they're at the hotel or the bed and breakfast or wherever they are. It's one of the best. It's one of the best sex scenes I've ever seen in adult, period.
Thank you.
And I do not say that shit lightly. I do not.
I would ask you what side, which of the two sides of the story was the best sex scene? Because there were two versions of that.
There were two versions of it. Her version.
Yes, her version.
Yeah, I guess that's sort of, it's typical, right? Because, yeah, because I identify with her. Yeah, it was incredible. And the story's really good. And the cinematography is also really cool. People are like losing their minds a little bit, and there's a lot of anger and paranoia. And so there are these lighting effects that happen, and anyone can recognize that in their own head, I think, when everything gets a little like amped up or it all becomes one color. Tell me about making this film for you.
Sure. Well, this was, I think this is the probably the most intense production project that I have undertaken up until this point. You're right in saying that Angela is the best, is your favorite. She very well may be mine too. She's just a tour de force. I have worked with her on a few different projects in the past, and I knew that this year I wanted to write something that would be a vehicle for her to showcase her acting range. And likewise, Seth Gamble is another really talented actor who I've had the pleasure to work a lot with, and I wanted to write something for him. So I kind of started with, you know, these two actors that I wanted to essentially make a vehicle for. Mm-hmm. And there was a story I've been, you know, quite interested with the subject of infidelity and of the just sort of the emotion, the impacts that emotions have on people. And, you know, when you're in a state of great duress, when something happens that kind of causes you to go off the deep end, how far do you go? And so I take a lot of stuff from my own life. You know, I think we've all had our dysfunctional relationships in the past. And if I think about some of my own experiences, there was one in particular where I had sort of discovered a secret about a past lover of mine. And I sort of had discovered the secret that she was having an affair with my best friend at the time. And this was many years ago. I know.
The worst and also the most lesbian.
Yes. And it was a best male friend too, just to add a little extra.
I know.
Ultimate sword in the heart. But this happened when I was, I actually discovered that they were having an affair while I was sitting having coffee with both of them. And I found a series of messages on sort of a laptop that had been left open. And so I had this, you know, this happened, and I'm kind of looking at these two people as I'm reading, you know, what's been really going on. And it was this really weird, poignant moment in my life, because it's like, here you are with two people that you trust, and you've discovered that they're keeping a secret from you. But all of a sudden there's this sort of power shift, because you know something that they do not know that you know. Mm-hmm. And what do you do? And you know, in my case at the time, I think I was in my early 20s. And at the time, I just sort of sat on it. It was like I went into a state of paralysis. And my kind of instinct was just to go into detective mode, to gather facts, to try to understand the scope of the deception. And that particular situation has always stayed with me, just as an interesting dilemma that a character would have. And so, you know, I kind of started to build this story about relationship dynamics and about, you know, deception and dysfunction around a very sort of similar situation. Somebody discovers something about their partner that their partner's been keeping from them. And then what happens when you let that secret fester? And when you let it take hold of you, and as, you know, emotions outweigh logic, it can often cause you to do things that you otherwise would not do. And so I was sort of exploring this story, and I as I'm exploring it, I kind of just sort of put myself in that, in the character of Daniel, Seth's character, and I started to, you know, explore his journey down, you know, the path of, you know, the rabbit hole. And when it kind of comes to a point in the story where there's a confrontation, I thought, well, wouldn't it be interesting if we went back to the beginning and we told the same story, but from the wife's perspective, who up until this point, we've really, as the viewer, have regarded as the enemy. Mm-hmm. You know, as the villain, and I wanted the audience to feel tremendous empathy for Daniel, even to the point when he's doing very bad things. You still empathize with him, and what kind of mind fuck it would be once you get to the middle of the story and we go back and we start to realize, wait a minute, this is all happening, but the differences are such that now I'm questioning what is the truth. And so it was kind of this ultimate head case of a story. And like I said, a real acting vehicle for both Angela and Seth and all the actors in the film who play two distinct characters, because they're playing two, you know, kind of
versions,
versions of the same, or of different people. So, it kind of came out and we did a lot of the cinematography and used a lot of color theory to kind of support the madness. So it was quite an ambitious journey. It was a really intense production. Angela and Seth spent months preparing for it. I've never seen two actors, an adult, be so committed to their roles. And I really, really hope I'm going to see them up on the stage for it.
Oh, yeah, I hope so, too. Also, I just love the notion that, like, both things can be true at once.
Oh, exactly.
I feel like that's, you know, with so many people disappointing us right now in the public, there are people who disappointed us who we can easily write off. Hi, Harvey Weinstein.
Yes.
But then there are people who we like as artists, and then they say something or do something or they're accused of something. And it's like, really?
Yeah.
Fuck. I used to think you were a good person, and now you did this. So you're also a predator. You also, like, fuck this up. And I feel like sometimes I have to sort of remind myself that, like, it both can be true. Like, you can be an amazing person and you did a bad thing. Like,
absolutely.
You can be charming and a brilliant actor and be a scumbag when it comes to women.
Yeah.
It's a hard pill to swallow, but I feel like that's part of what's operating in this story, that there isn't one true character. There are, it's based on everyone's perception, right?
Yeah. No, and I think you hit the nail on the head. It really, you know, especially in today's kind of woke culture where we're all being challenged on everything and starting to reflect on, you know, on a lot of these subjects and our own behavior and our own actions and our own instincts and our own past and everything. And it kind of has drudged up this great, self-reflection. And for me, one of the big takeaways is that no matter how convicted you are about something, it's only ever your perspective. And somebody out there is going to have the polar opposite opinion, and there's no right or wrong. We're in strange times, strange but important times.
Well, so let's close with that. We only have a couple of minutes left, but we are in strange times, and you are a creator and you are an artist. So what do you feel like are some of the things you really want to get out there, either as a distributor or as a creator? What are some things you want to grapple with that you feel like are directly impacted by what's going on in the world right now?
Well, I'm very motivated by finding ways to bring more inclusivity and unity within our industry. So marginalized model communities that have otherwise historically been shut out of mainstream porn, not only inviting them in, but really giving, using Adult Time as a platform to bring their art to life and to treat it with the same respect and attention that we would for, you know, for any type of performer. So that's been a real motivator of mine, continuing to put the, you know, policy and the awareness in place to make our industry the best place it can be, to empower the performers that we have who are not, you know, there for many years, you know, performers were sort of regarded as being, you know, dependent on studios, but that's not the case anymore. Performers are their own brands. They are their own content creators, and studios and studio heads like me, you know, need to really look at ways that we are going to work to help them and give them a space and a platform for showing off their art, and not just taking for granted that they're going to show up to make ours. So looking for new creative ways to really, you know, bring the next generation of adult content creators to light, and to give them a space to do their thing.
I love that story. It's a great way to end. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you. It was a great pleasure.
So the website where you can find all of this good stuff is adulttime.com. Bree herself is on Twitter and Instagram at @TheBreeMills, Bree with two E's. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible: executive producer Karen Dana, senior producer Raymond Johnson, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Andrew, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. Remember when I told you that Dr. Robin Henderson Espinosa was going to be on the show this week? I was just so excited that they're coming back on the show that I was off by a week. So they are coming. Dr. Robin is coming next week to talk about their book and their new podcast, Activist Theology. So until next time.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.